believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Then he says again, once we have this everlasting life, he says in John, yes, Lord, 10 and 28, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But even more, Jesus declared boldly, yes, Lord, on his way to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he declared again, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Are you with me? Yes, your body may go back to the dirt, but the real you gonna live on. Are you with me? My brothers and sisters, these are the words of the Son of God. And if that declaration of truth is not enough, there's proof of immortality. Because not only did Jesus declare the good news, but Jesus also proved the good news. Well, my brothers and sisters, Jesus did die on the cross. Because the Bible says while he hung there on that old rugged cross, according to Matthew 27:50, it says that he yielded up the ghost. Simply put, he just died. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus did die. The soldiers around the cross, after thrusting the spear in his side, causing blood and water to flow from the wound, they said that Jesus was dead. Agents of Caesar, who said also that he was dead. Joseph of Arimathea, yes, Lord, and Nicodemus, who claimed his body and put it in the grave, they said that he was dead. My brothers and sisters, you need to make no mistake about it. Jesus did die on the cross. He was not just unconscious, nor was he in a swoon. He died. He was dead. And all my brothers and sisters, what an awful suspense that was while he lay in the tomb. I guess the word was out. Who would be master? Death or life? Darkness or light?
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
God bless you. If you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now as we prepare to hear from you. Lord, as we give to you our attention, our ears, our hearts, our minds, speak to our spirit, speak to our heart, speak to us. So clear, God, that we not only hear you, but we heed you. Oh, Lord, let the perfect teaching, preaching ministry of the Holy Ghost meet us in the text and tailor the truth so that every hearer's heart may not only hear the word, but understand the word. And then, God, give us power to practice these principles for profit, so that we might give you all praise It is in Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about the power of faith-filled words spoken. The power of faith-filled words spoken. I want you to see some things that the Lord shares with us in kingdom principles. And one of the things that we are clear to understand is that kingdom principles deal with those things that operate in the way that the Lord himself has designed them to operate, and whoever practices these kingdom principles connected to the king himself shall have them according to his word. It's important to understand that, because I need believers to understand, many times we don't get what we say, not because we don't always say the right thing, but because we don't always believe what we say. And so it's not just about speaking the right words, but it's speaking the right words that you believe. The things that God himself has already said, ordained, and ordered as it relates to the kingdom matters. If we operate in kingdom principles, then we have kingdom promises. And the believer must understand this in order to operate in this, to get in their daily lives what the Lord desires to transfer, manifest, and bring to fruition in their lives on this side of glory, even before they are ever in his presence for eternity. One of the things that I like about this word is, and I want to share with you, because Jesus is dealing with faith, but he's dealing with faith-filled words spoken. Faith-filled words spoken, released. And in this context, I want you to understand that your words that are filled with faith, spoken, are literally seeds of faith. And if you're going to be blessed in terms of a harvest, you're going to have to learn how to speak seeds through the faith that you have in God and his word, and believe that when you speak them, you already have what you have spoken. Understand these principles. Walk with the word, in the word with me, so that you can understand that, so that you can practice for profit those things that the kingdom gives to us, and so that we can operate in and have what God has said. I want to share some things. Turn, if you will, to Matthew 17 chapter. Just want to show you a few of these before I move further into the text. Matthew chapter 17. And I want you to see the word of the Lord as Jesus speaks here. First of all, his disciples are asking why could they not cast out the demon. And look at verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, truly, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a what? Faith as a grain, one single grain of mustard seed. Faith seed. The smallest of grains or seeds was the mustard seed, almost tiny like a grain of sand. But yet out of that mustard seed, it could grow a tree. So he's saying, as small as a grain of mustard seed, very tiny, tiny seed, almost looked like a little black speck in your hand. One little tiny, tiny speck, he says, can grow a big old mustard. Now, this ain't mustard green. So don't get it twisted. A mustard seed grows a mustard tree, which birds hang in and nest in and flock in. So it's a whole different mentality. I want to get you in the Eastern thought process, not the Western. All right. Now listen at this. He says, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now listen at this, because I want you to see the power of faith-filled spoken words. Let's go back there again. Ye shall say unto this literal mountain. This was not a figurative mountain he was pointing at. He was speaking to them and pointing to a real mountain, saying that the power of your faith-filled words spoken can literally move this mountain. And look at what the word says. Notice there's no room for uncertainty, no room for guessing, no room in there for mistakes. Notice what the word says. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall. Certainty. It shall remove. No doubt about it. No question about it. Look at the authoritative stance that Jesus takes in speaking this principle of the kingdom, the power of faith-filled words spoken. He says, again, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, somebody say nothing, shall be impossible unto you who speak faith filled words. Now listen at this. I want you to see something else. Go with me, if you will, to Luke 17 chapter. Now I'm sharing with you kingdom principles here so you can understand how to operate in these principles. Luke 17. Now Jesus just said, if you learn how to speak faith-filled words, they are like seeds. When you speak them, you must recognize that you are releasing seed. And so if you are releasing seed, then you ought to expect a harvest. That's the whole purpose for planting seed. You want harvest to come back. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree. Which goes to show you, faith-filled words are not limited to things. You don't have to act like all faith works in is the spiritual arena. Faith works in every arena. Faith works with everything. Everything is subject to faith-filled spoken words. And the problem most times with most believers is they think it only works in the spiritual realm, in the church, or in the sacred arena. But listen at this. This mountain wasn't sacred and this tree isn't sacred, but the power of faith-filled spoken words moved both of them, or had the ability to move both of them according to the word of God. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, faith, your words being those seeds spoken, ye might do what? Ye might what? Ye might say, speak, release, sow words. They are your seeds. Again, say unto this sycamine tree, again, a literal tree, not a figurative tree. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now that's so powerful, that's just going right over your head right there. Jesus said, a tree that does not have ears, a tree that has no legs, a tree that does not respond in the natural realm of its design and development to words will respond to faith-filled spoken words, not of its own authority, but by the power in God's word that you speak. The tree has got to listen. I keep telling folk, God doesn't work like you work. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your words or thoughts. Even when we go back in the Old Testament times and don't understand how God's powerful creative words work, he gives us example after example. As being children of the Most High God, we're made in his image and in his likeness, and we too have a creative power in our mouths, and they are called words, and they are seeds. And Genesis 1 tells us everything God spoke, it came to pass, and it was good. When God called Ezekiel and told him, I want you to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dry Bones, he had no issue with that, because he knew that though he went to a dry, dead church, it wouldn't remain that way when he got through speaking faith-filled words. He tells him, walk around, look around, see what you see, and then tell me whether or not these bones can live again. Well, when Ezekiel, after having pastored a few months, looked around, surveyed it, he went back and said, Lord, I really don't want to make no mistake, because I know I'm a preacher of faith. But you know, some things, when you look at them, they just don't look like there is even any hope of a resurrection. They've been dead so long that the bones are scattered. Foot bone over here, toe bone over there. Hip, y'all not hearing me here. They didn't just die, they've been dead. Son of man, can these bones live? And he says, Lord, you know. Look at what God tells him. Prophesy. Speak words that I have spoken to you. Say, in other words, what I say, and watch what happens. And listen at this. He spoke to dry, dead bones that didn't have no ear, didn't have no flesh, didn't have no sinew, didn't have no spirit, didn't have anything. And when he spoke faith-filled words, things began. Matter of fact, when he said the last thing God says, say that became a rumbling and a shaking in the valley. And listen, what Ezekiel didn't know, it was like a whole lot of truth that a whole lot of us don't know. You don't have to make it happen. You just need to believe that the one who said it can happen can make it happen. See, that's why we get scared to speak to literal mountains. And I've heard preachers say it. I've said it in my ignorance also. Well, you know, God is talking about the mountain of your situation, the mountains of your problems and the mountain. And yeah, he does mean those things. But when Jesus was speaking, he was talking about a literal mountain before some literal folk about his literal word. And when they would be released, he would take the literal spirit and grab a hold to those literal words and cause a literal reaction to happen in the natural realm. Literally. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help. You ain't got to make it happen. You just need to believe that the one who said it can happen can make it happen. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Go back with me, if you don't mind. Matthew 8. Because now that we understand it and have established it as a kingdom principle of sowing and reaping, it means more than just the arena of physical sowing, seed or sowing, money or sowing, whatever. We need to see words as seeds, and we sow these seeds, because what we realize from Matthew 17 and 20 and Luke 17 and 6 are three things as we need in the faith arena to know. One, that you've got to plant your faith. Faith works like a seed. You've got to plant your faith. Faith works like a seed. Secondly, listen, you must, if faith works like a seed, you must plant it to get the benefits of that seed faith or faith seed. In other words, it's not just enough to know that it works, you've got to plant it in order for it to work. Just not knowing the principle gets you the profit. You've got to plant it in order to get the benefit from it. Third thing is, you got to know that you plant faith by speaking it. You plant a literal seed by digging the ground and putting it in, placing it in. You sow financial seed by releasing that seed into another person's hand or into another situation or circumstance where God, it's a releasing process. You plant your seed of faith by speaking it. So one again, faith works like a seed. And if it works like a seed, you have to plant your seed in order to get the benefit. And thirdly, you must recognize that you plant your faith seed words by speaking, not thinking, speaking. Now, listen again, because I want you to see something. As we go back into the text, Matthew 8, Jesus has a centurion who has come to him, beseeching him, saying, Lord. Now it's interesting that he uses the word Lord, even though Jesus is Lord of all. The word Lord suggests that he is under his authority and in covenant relationship, even though he is a Roman soldier. What is not really clear is, though even he calls him Lord, whether he's calling him Lord because of his own experience with Jesus, or he's calling him Lord because his servant calls him Lord. So you got to see the picture, because this servant is one of his prime servants. He loves this servant. This servant serves him well. He's close to this servant. His servant is sick. He's at the point of death, and he knows he's at the point of death. But the servant, no doubt, is a son under covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. He is a seed of Abraham. He has a legal right to call Jesus Lord. He knows this, and when he refers to Jesus, no doubt, he calls him what the servant obviously calls him. It's like you know somebody through somebody, and so you call them what they call them. If you go there and it ain't your mama, but if your best friend has a grandmother and he calls her Big Mama, or she calls him Big Mama, when you introduce, you say, this is Big Mama. You say, hey, Big Mama. Now, she ain't my grandmama, but that's what everybody calls her, so I call her that also. And so I'm wondering whether or not that it's this reality that he speaks out of. But even though that part isn't clear, let me tell you what is clear. What is clear is that he knows that his servant is at the point of death, that no doctor on earth can bring him back to the place of restoration. But his faith is in his Lord. And he probably tells the centurion, the only one who can heal me is my Lord. If you just get a message to my Lord, I know I'll be healed and I will be restored. And so even if it weren't but on the faith of that servant, because the word in Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He knew something about this man's faith being so strong in the Lord that he connected to his faith and said, I've got to find Jesus, because Jesus can work a miracle. Now listen at this. The record is this. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching, searching, seeking diligently for him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Look at Jesus' response. And he didn't say, I'm going to come look at him, I'm going to come pray for him, I'm going to come lay hands on him. Jesus said, I'm going to come and heal him. That simple, that clear. See, that, listen, now you got to understand, that certainly, from whatever he heard from the servant, that was one thing. But what he hears now from Jesus is another thing. Jesus never asked who his servant was, but obviously understanding he was a Roman soldier, that the servant obviously, and of course Jesus knowing all things, knew that his servant was a son of Abraham, and that healing was a part of the promise and the blessings of the children of Abraham. He knew that he was in line. He had a right to the healing. So Jesus simply says, listen, I ask his name, don't know where you live, I'm gonna just come with you and heal the man. But look at what he says now. The centurion, verse 8, answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy, not my servant, that thou shouldest come under my roof. In other words, I don't have a holy house. Lord, a whole lot of us can identify with that. And I don't think he just meant that my house ain't clean because my servant is sick. He meant I'm not under the promise and covenant of the commonwealth of Israel. I am not worthy. I'm a sinner. Listen at this. That you should come under my roof. But look at what he tells Jesus now. But speak the word only. In other words, Jesus, what I want you to do is stay right here and sow your seed from here. And when I hear you say it's done, I'm going to go back home and see what you say come to pass. Speak the word only. You ain't got to come lay no hands. You ain't got to come anoint me with no oil. You ain't got to come and pray over me. You ain't got to come and pray over my servant. You don't have to do anything but stand still and open up your mouth and speak the word only. Now he's got so much power in that faith that he now has in Jesus, not because of the servant, but because of himself, because Jesus has already declared, come on, let's go, I'm going to heal him. Well, now he tells Jesus, I believe you're going to heal me, but you ain't got to go. You know what he was telling Jesus was, your words are so powerful that I believe you got the power to stand right here and speak straight across town. And everything across town is going to act like you were right there in my house. Listen at this word. Listen to this word. He says, and when you get through talking, my servant shall be healed. I mean, when you open up your mouth, I'm just trying to get you to say it, Lord, because if you said, everything is going to line up just like you said. Somehow in his spirit, in his sanctity of mind and thinking, he knew that Jesus had the power in his words to do the same thing he would have done in person. Now listen at this, because this is faith supreme. This is the faith that Jesus is trying to get his people to function in. This is a level of faith to believe God simply because he said it. And because he says what he means and means what he says, he doesn't have to show up in order to show out. Somebody didn't get that. The Lord showed up and he showed up. Can't he show out without showing up? Listen, some of y'all looking like you don't know. Well, stay with me. If words are seeds, then when you speak them, you are sowing your seed. Now here's the next principle I want you to operate in. When you sow your seed, leave your seed. This man said, if you speak the word only, I believe it, and that is as good as done. Look at what he says again in this word. And my servant shall be healed. In other words, Lord, when you said, I'm going home. I'm not going to send a servant and go ask him to go check and see if my other servant is healed, and I'm going to hold you hostage, Jesus, to see if your word comes to pass. He says, if you just say he's healed, I'm going to go on home. I'm going to leave my